How you entrepreneurs, today we have Abraham Justice. He is an actor and stuntman. He has a kind of unique history. He came from Egypt. In Egypt, he was part of the National Police Academy. He also had a degree in law, decided that he just wasn't doing well. His passion wasn't there. So he moved to the United States thinking he was going to take up business, and he kind of just fell into acting and stunt work. It's a pretty kind of interesting story. He talks about basically his journey coming over here to the United States, talked about how to get work, how to be ready for that opportunity that comes about. Please listen, please subscribe, and of course, tell your friends. Thanks, everyone.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going
to
show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
Hi, guys. So we are here with Abraham Justice. He is a stuntman and an actor. So thank you for being here, Abraham.
Thank you for inviting me.
So you have a very unique history. You know, you actually moved from another country to the United States and go after this passion of acting, right?
Yes.
Can you walk us through, you know, I guess the current experience that you're on, the travel that you're currently on?
I have to admit that my life was very spontaneous, and it was guided. Some power was guiding it, because I didn't really plan to do this. It just happened. I started in Egypt. I was a police officer, captain of the security forces, and I was one of the best officers there. I was the last thing I did when I was police officer there, I took a class, VIP's protection training. It's equals like the security service here in America, and I was the first in my class. I also got multiple different trainings, like a military training instructor and small weapon experts and stuff like that. So my whole life was going in that direction. At that point, I did not plan to be an actor at all, and I had no prior acting experience at all. And all what happened is I just wanted to have a new life. I'm a thinker, so sometimes I would just start evaluating my life and see where is it at and where is it going, and am I happy with that? Am I happy with where I'm at? Am I happy with where my life is taking me? And I decided that I wanted to change, and I came to America to be a businessman. And I ended up one day I was at work, and my friend told me he worked in a movie, and it brought a lot of back thoughts. I thought about it several times, and then I decided, you know what, I want to try this. And that's how the whole thing started. He gave me his agent phone number, and I started doing some small jobs that led me to bigger jobs. And because of my physical training and my police background, a lot of people advised me to do stunts because of my look as well, because that was hot at the time, and everybody is about the war in the Middle East and the terrorism and all that stuff. So I followed that advice, and it worked out very well for me.
So was there some sort of catalyst that pushed you to change your life? Like, usually people, it's like a breakup, or it's like got fired from a job, or something like that, that makes a big change happen. And moving from Egypt to the United States, that's a fairly big change.
Correct. It's I want to tell everybody, when they have hardship, it's your best moment. This is the best time in your life, because this is what's going to help you to change. Usually when people are happy, they're comfortable, they're in the comfort zone, they don't want to change anything. And then when you have some hardship or you feel unhappy, this is the best thing ever for you. So that's a motivation for people who are going through hard times. I tell them this is the best time of your life. So that's exactly what happened. I was unhappy. I just didn't feel happy. I was unhappy. And because I was thinking a lot, I was thinking, okay, is it going to get better? Am I going to be happier later? when I get higher rank or whatever, more money. And I found out, no, it's not really gonna get any better. I have to change. I have to change my whole life. And I was religious at the time. And I read something about when someone wants to God to forgive him his sins, after he asks forgiveness from God and from the people that he hurt or whatever, he has to change. So that was my thought too. Like, if I want to get out of this, I have to change everything. I have to change your life, your place that you live, your job, like everything, in order for you to have something new that hopefully will be better.
So yeah. You said you were religious in the past.
I was.
What? I mean, I know we're going down a rabbit hole right there. Is it just because you moved to the United States and it wasn't like right in front of you anymore? Or is it just the crowd that you were with before kind of changed basically everything? Or,
well, of course, the culture and the environment around you, religion is mostly culture. And especially in these countries when there's a very strong family connections and stuff like that. The good thing about America, it's the land of freedom. Like, you don't really have all these connections. You don't have this pressure, I would say. That's the better word to use. The family pressure and all, the society pressure. There's more freedom to think for yourself. And I'm very happy that I got this opportunity to rethink about everything again. And gradually, I started to disagree about things in religion. And then that led me to the point that I feel like the whole thing was just a hoax. So, yeah.
No, fair enough. I grew up in a Catholic background, and you start, when you're fed that your whole life,
yeah.
And then over time you start really dissecting. You're like, do I believe it, or is something that I just been fed my whole life?
Correct. I've been fed that all my life, and there's an emotional connection, and I don't want to be disowned by your family. You don't want to lose your people, and if you're married and you have children, it's even harder because you don't want to be disliked by your wife or your children or whatever. So I'm really glad that I came to a land of freedom. And at the same time, I don't have all these connections. I'm not married. I don't have children. And I don't have the family pressure anymore. And I start thinking freely. And that's the result of my thinking.
So that goes into my next question. So when you came over here, did you know anybody?
I did know people. I think support in the beginning for people who come to America is very important. I don't know how can someone make it in this country without at least 6 months of support. Like who has money to survive for a whole year until you get your feet in the ground and start having money rolling for you? Especially coming from a poor country, and you're moving to have a better life. Like even as a police officer in Egypt, they used to pay me like $300-$400 a month.
Wow.
So yeah, how much can I save to come here and survive for a whole year before I can before I start getting a job and support myself? But so I'm very grateful. I had family here, and they did support me for the first about 6 months, and until I finally got a work permit and I started working.
Is there some advice you could give to like people that are maybe moving from a poor country to come here? Is it besides the 6 months of like safety, I guess? Is there anything else that kind of that you got to learn over time?
I think it's better if they start researching what fields they want to do when they come to America. It's probably easier for them and cheaper to get like a certificate or some type of education that they can use when they come to America than to be in America and try to go to school here, because it's expensive to live here. Versus if they're still in your country, you still have the support of the family. You don't have to spend as much. And it's probably cheaper to get these certificates over there anyway. So yeah, you got to have a plan or support. Like, you really like have to have either or both. You cannot just come here and and be on your own. And that's the beautiful thing about the legal process, the immigration process. Then that's why I'm a highly supporter of this process, the legal process, because they really want to make sure the people who come here, they check their background, they have no criminal record, they are good people that will be very useful to the community. And but someone comes through the border, he has no plan, he has no support. Like, honestly, as a human being, you got to do whatever it takes to survive. So if you come here with no support, no plan, what are you going to do? I'm going to break into cars and steal things and bring food. It's a mess. It's like, yeah.
Do you think basically your law background and your work in the as a policeman in Egypt, how much did that help you out in the transition this way?
It's part of my personality, but did it really help me in this country much? Maybe some of my experience as a police officer and how to use guns helped me in the stunt business and in the acting business as well, because people can tell right away that I'm trained, and it looks beautiful in front of the camera. it gave me discipline. And it's a very important thing, and that I feel like this new generation need more of. They have discipline. Yeah, of course. If they want to keep a job, they have to be more disciplined, and they have respect and work ethics. Go ahead, I'm listening.
How is that in the acting field? Because from the outside looking in, it's all about you go on. You go to casting, and every day is a new opportunity. And it's just consistently a grind. That's what at least looks like from the outside world. Is that kind of what it is, or what does that consist of, like a daily or a weekly routine for you?
I would like to hear this question again.
Yeah, explanation. So, yeah. Like, what's your week look like usually? Is it is it applying for opportunities like a new movie that's coming out, a new TV show that's coming out, and because from the outside looking in, it's like you have to go to 10 different sessions, 15 different sessions, 20 different sessions before you actually can get a gig. Is that the extent of it, or how has that been for you?
Correct. That's the way, at least in the beginning. Okay. It's constant hustling and nonstop. You're always unemployed and you're always looking for a job. And every time you think once I reach this point, it's going to be easier, it does not become easier, because once you reach this point, you are competing with people in that level, which is even harder.
Yeah.
So you got to just enjoy every step of the way. My advice for people who want to get into acting, to get like enough training in the beginning, at least 6 months of acting training, they have to have some support as well. This time is not for 6 months. This time is for a long time. Either a person supporting them financially, or they have like a flexible business that they can do without committing to certain work hours. Because if you have to commit to work hours, you're going to limit your possibilities in this business by a huge percentage.
Okay.
Of course, you have to be flexible. The whole thing about being flexible and being available all the time.
Was there a time that you can remember that was like, okay, this was a mini win for me, or this was a win for me? I got this job, or I got this part, or you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm doing this.
I'm very blessed since the beginning of my career. I had things happen to me that doesn't happen to so many people. Like in the beginning of my career, for example, I did background for almost a year to get my union card, Screen Actors SAG-AFTRA card. At that time, it was SAG and AFTRA were separate, and I had to join them separately. So one of that jobs, I was doing background at Steven Spielberg's movie, The Adventure of Tintin. And I remember when I was standing on set and an old man comes and shake hands with me. I just shake hands with him, not paying very attention, just focusing on what I'm going to do. And then I look back and I found that that was Steven Spielberg. Like, what? I should have made this more meaningful. I just shake hands with him. Like, I didn't give him any attention at all. Like, oh my God, what did I do? I am done this business. So things like that. I got upgraded from background to principal parts almost 5 times.
Oh, wow.
I usually, in the beginning when I did background, I heard these stories like it's legends. Like it's probably not real stories. They just made it up, you know, because it doesn't happen like to 99.9% of people. It happened to me. I'm very fortunate, I have to admit.
I bet that your agent appreciated that.
I did not even have an agent at the time. Oh. I didn't have nothing. I had no, I know I'm not trying to make anyone jealous or upset. I had no acting training, no agent, no nothing. I was just a hustler. That's.
And just did what you're kind of the discipline. Go back to the discipline.
Yes, and I just happened to be in the right place in the right time and have the right look and the right type of experience. But honestly, okay, let's also take this back so people don't also do what I did. I remember this and it kind of hurt me sometimes because the AD, the assistant director of Steven Spielberg, he talked to me several times and he said that Steven Spielberg was interested in working with me. But they felt like I'm not ready. Hmm. You see how the opportunity can come to you if you're not prepared for it. So this one job was amazing to me and everything, but it could have opened more jobs.
Oh, wow.
It did not because I was not ready. So I advise everyone to be prepared.
Wow.
I was not ready in so many levels, like not only the acting training, but my life wasn't really together. And I was struggling financially, and that happens to most of, that's why I'm telling people in the beginning of the business, especially in the beginning, to have a solid support. If you want to do this, either you have some, like a very good amount of money in the bank or someone to support you, or a flexible business that you do that in your free time.
Talking about like struggles like that, what are some like the big struggles that you've had to overcome over the years?
My biggest struggles came, the first one was like my accent and my English language. And if you have an accent and English language problems, it's hard for you to memorize the script. And if you forget your script, you are in trouble because a lot of big actors forget the words, but because they are native speakers, they can come up with something that has the same meaning.
Okay.
And still sounds good. But me, if I forget my script, I will say things that they don't like. And like, I mean, I will choose, like my choice of words is not going to be as solid, and they will want to repeat the scene again because they don't like the way I said it, because versus a lot of big actors, when once they're the moment and the acting takes them away and they forget the script and they just come up with some cool things to say, and it works out. It's a language is very important. It's English to have a solid English language. I also didn't have acting training, and the acting training was not only the issue. I grew up in a conservative environment, and then going to the police academy after that didn't really help. It made me more stiff. In police academy, they want you to stand attention and you always discipline yourself. But when the acting training, I had to open up and be able to express myself, my thoughts, my emotions, my desires. So I had to go against everything that I grew up doing.
You kind of, yeah. Or have you always been so disciplined, even at a young age, or is this something that you kind of grew over time with the military and?
I've been pretty disciplined personally. I don't know. I think it's my personality. I think it's my DNA. It's interesting that how I try to go against it right now to be able to do the opposite. To be an actor, it's good to have discipline, so you have good work ethics, but at the same time, it's good to know how to open up and don't strict yourself. That's good. That limits you as an actor.
Do you, if you could look at maybe that younger self, that kid that was in Egypt, would there be any advice you would give him at that young age?
I would have had much more experiences in life. One second, let me fix this.
Yeah, no problem at all.
I wouldn't be so stiff. I wouldn't be so disciplined. I would I would explore more in life. I would have done a lot of things differently, like explore things, try things. I would never have been religious at all. I would have started my passion earlier in life. I would take all these acting classes when I was younger and increase my knowledge and read books and
kind of be open to new ideas.
Correct. Yeah, I think I had to unlearn so many things when I came to America, and that was a challenge, especially when you come here in late age and then it takes you another 10 years to unlearn things. It's just, yeah, you feel like your life is going away from you before you even get to where you want to be.
Makes sense. Well, what's next for you? What's coming up in next year, down the road, or?
Two years ago, I made a decision that I want to transfer from being a stuntman to become a full-time actor. And I was going towards that, and I stopped really trying to get all these stunt jobs because I just wanted the acting jobs. And my passion, my heart, everything is going there. And this year, I feel like I made a bad decision at the time because everybody have to embrace what he is. Like everybody has a certain look and a certain skill, and that's who you are. You can't really change that. So I feel like I'm more of an action actor. I'm more of a person who they always like to hire me because of my acting skills, but also because of my skills as a stuntman. So if I take one of them out of the picture, it will give me less possibilities. So I went back with my whole heart to stunts, because even stunts, like, it opens acting opportunities for me. But as I said, in this, they want the stuntman who can act, which is and this is my advice to a lot of people. This business is all about connections. You're really, like, not gonna get any big parts or anything without connections. So your skill can be your connection. Because instead of going against 4,000 actors for every part, your skill will make you go against 10 people, for example. And then it will be way easier for you. Because going against 4,000 people and all you got to offer is only acting, that's like, you may as well win the lottery, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've been lucky enough to live, like, overseas, and it was kind of a funny joke that me and some other expats would say is the idea in America you could be famous for being attractive, but in other countries you have to be attractive and be able to sing or do something else.
I yeah, exactly. There's a lot of beautiful people here, and I see a lot of beautiful girls who come to LA from all over the world, and they think because they're beautiful or they're cute, they will just be famous. And in 99.9% of them, they don't make it, because that was the wrong idea.
Yeah,
I think that because the competition, if they're going against beauty only, like, there's a lot of beautiful people, a lot of beautiful girls here. So they had to have some skill and something else to offer, the right connections, and yeah.
Perfect. Is there anything in the works that you're currently, any jobs you're going to be currently working on in the near future?
I've been working a lot lately on that TV show, SEAL Team.
Okay.
And that's keeping me busy right now. There's a job coming up on NCIS Los Angeles. I just finished my movie script. It's a dramedy.
Oh, okay.
And I made it about ISIS, which is funny, and why people join ISIS. Because everybody think that people join ISIS because of religious beliefs, but because I have knowledge and experience, sometimes people join ISIS because of their oppressive regimes in the Middle East, all these dictatorships. Sometimes they would do something bad to a friend of yours or a family member, and you get so angry, you want revenge, and you have no way to revenge except that ISIS offers you revenge if you join them. So it's pretty much like the gangs when they help you out when in a situation, and then they say, okay, now you're one of us, and that's it.
So wait, you said it's a dramedy, so part drama, part comedy?
Correct. It's a, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be comedy, but like comedy when you see all these tough life of the ISIS and what they do to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you try to see it in a comedy way, so it's not too dark.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, when are you hoping to start pushing that out?
I'm working on that right now. I've been sending it to the right people, and I've got a very, very good feedback about it. I'm discussing also very sensitive things about Islam as well. I know a lot of it's gonna have a huge impact. I just want people to think, because a lot of people just grew up in this religion and they never thought about it, and just wanted to show them how some of these beliefs are very extreme, and they should just rethink all these beliefs. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Abraham, I appreciate you being on the podcast, and hopefully everyone listening got some insight into, I think, a unique life and a very strong-minded individual.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys, and keep the good work.
Thanks. Talk to you later, Abraham.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.